Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health and wellness, with host, board-certified nutrition and wellness practitioner, Martina DeGoot, and co-host, Kimberly Briggs. Together with expert guests, they bring you the very best in holistic health and wellness. Your comments and feedback are important to us. To speak to the host, call 914-338-0741. That's 914-338-0741. Now here is Martina DeGoot.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Atlanta. Good morning, world. Welcome again to another episode of the Healthy Explosion Show. I'm your host, Martina DeGoot, and I have with me this morning my one and only co-host, Kimberly Britt. How are you, Kimberly? Okay, I made another boo-boo this morning. And also, I didn't connect you in. And also, Catherine Aduni. Catherine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm
good
wonderful.
Morning.
Thank you.
Awesome. Sorry about that, guys. I actually still had you on mute.
okay.
Catherine Aduni is with Aduni Natural. And we are going to have an awesome discussion as we begin our month on healthy foods. And what better way to start with going back to the beginning with organic farming and organic foods. And Catherine is actually opening an organic grocery. So we're going to have a lot of fun this morning just discussing all the exciting things that he's doing. And Kimberly, welcome back. You were
thank you.
You weren't here last week, but we sent prayers out to your grandmother, and I know she's very special. And you're going to also share about growing up on an organic farm with your grandmother this morning. So we're really going to have an awesome time this morning. But before we get started, let me just tell you, just want to let you know that topics that we discuss on the show is not intended as a substitute for regular medical care. So always consult your physician or healthcare provider before making any changes to your diet or exercise routine. And also, please do not stop taking your medication without advice from your healthcare professional. You really need guidance in that area. Last week's show, we had a really awesome time with Dr. Kyle Fogel of Natural Medicine Chiropractic Care in Cummings, Georgia. And we were last week's show was on the topic of testosterone. And please avail yourself to that awesome show. It's in the archives, and that was last week. Okay, awesome. I am just so excited about this morning's show. Now, just to tell you a little bit about our guest, Catherine Aduni is a she's the founder of Aduni Natural Grocers, and it's actually located in Griffin, Georgia. Her grand opening will be the 22nd of this month. She's doing a lot of exciting things. Just to read a little bit about her bio, throughout her life, she has sought to cultivate and support community efforts that focus on healthy foods in communities high in poverty, oneness and humanity and love of arts and creativity. She's a mother of five. In addition to raising her children to be consciously aware beings, she has charted her own path by pushing herself to be a walking example of spirit in action. Catherine, welcome. Rather than continuing to read out your bio, I think we'll just pick it up as we go along and just have you share a little. But what I want to first ask you is, what lit your fire in terms of organic health and wellness?
Well, I came from a background of eaters that love to get together, family gatherings, you know, the old Southern way that we get together, fried chicken, pork chops, you know, all of the foods that lead to a lot of health issues later on in life. Looked around my family and noticed how as they grew older, a lot of them were struggling with a lot of, you know, the most common illnesses like diabetes, high blood pressure, gout, obesity. And I just said, I don't want to be like this, and I don't want my children to grow up like this. Even though we had access to the healthiest foods, you know, we were taught that growing up, that sitting around, you know, the table, eating and congregating with our family was healthy and loving. But one of the components of that was missing. You know, we needed to eat healthier, therefore to take care of our bodies so we can live a lot longer. So, I, you know, looking at my mom, I'm an only child, and I don't have any sisters and brothers aside from my half-sister. But my mother was going through a lot of issues with diabetes. She's got just about everything on the chart. And, you know, trying to work and take care of my five children and take care of her was becoming a struggle. So we just had to sit down and say, listen, we got to do something to get you better. And I started looking at alternative ways besides all the medicines, the bags of medicines that she came home with from doctor's appointments, trying to correct things. And one of the things that we started with was the gout, which, you know, is a very painful disease. Yeah. And it started in her big toe. And from that point, I've seen how, never seen my mother really cry about things, but it was very painful for her. And it got me moving. So I started looking at different things that I could do to, you know, implement into her diet, which was the first thing we tried was cherry juice. And every morning I made sure she drank her cherry juice. I gave her a lot of water, blended a lot of berries like raspberries, cherries, blueberries for, you know, later on in the afternoon, and started to see a change, in which we were both excited. She didn't have to worry about that for months to come. But as you know, we're weak sometimes, so we go back to the same thing that, you know, led us astray. And she's seen the difference in it too, so she swears by it now. She tells all of her friends at church to get cherry juice for the gout.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, it's a nice segue because we're going to be getting into diabetes. In the, as a matter of fact, I think the third week we're going to be talking about diabetes. We actually started the show with the focus on diabetes, I think it was last July. We've only been on Blog Talk Radio since, I think it was December 1st. Prior to that, we were actually on a traditional live station here in the Atlanta area, and we did a lot with diabetes. We actually teamed up with the American Diabetes Association. So we're going to be getting into that because it's such an important issue. You've got almost, I think it's about 380 million people worldwide with diabetes. So it's very, very alarming. And the sad thing is that so many people have no idea that they have diabetes, you know, because as you mentioned with the foods, you know, especially here in the South, and I can attest to that. When, you know, I've been here for quite a while in Georgia, and I saw myself from, I think I was maybe about an 8'10" when I came here, and I went almost to close to a size 20.
Wow.
So I can, oh, thank God that's all gone, but I can attest to that, you know, and the portions are huge. You know, and there's always bread is always a component of every meal, and, you know, it's just the supersize, just everything. And then I think the all-you-can-eat buffet was just really a detriment to everyone because it just gave like an open ticket to eat and consume.
Not good for anyone, yeah.
Right, right. So that's awesome. Congratulations on that. Kimberly, I want you to jump right in and talk about, just to set the stage, I know you grew up on an organic farm, so just share with us the benefits of that and your grandmother.
Sure.
Who, your...
Sure, yeah. As we've mentioned, my grandmother, who is 98 years old now, just so dear to my heart. She,
wow.
I didn't actually spend my entire childhood on the farm. My mother grew up on the farm, so I would spend summers and Christmases and a fair amount of time there. That's where our family was located, even though we were going to school in New York where my dad was working. But it impressed upon me. I think it's the reason I'm so interested in nutrition today, just because she really inspired me to understand how the earth, kind of just organically, what comes out of the earth is the way it should be. You know, we don't need to add all these things to our foods in order to make them more healthy or to chemically change them to be bigger. I mean, I went to the grocery store once when I was a child with my grandmother, and she was shocked at the apples. She was like, I've never seen shinier, bigger apples. Yeah, in my life. And she just was saying, you know, maybe at first it looks like it's better because, oh, it's bigger, it's shinier, kind of like a new car, you know, oh, it must be better. But maybe it's not better. And it's kind of the question of maybe the way things are traditionally and just organically, maybe that's the best way. And so that kind of got my mind, you know, the little wheels in my head turning throughout my lifetime. And, yeah, it's inspired me to this day.
Oh, that's awesome. And your grandmother, especially what was very interesting to me is that she's 98 years old, and you said that she was still living on her own.
Isn't that awesome, Catherine?
I'm sorry?
Our grandmother, 98 years old, is still living on her own.
I know. You know, and it's funny when she said, my grandfather is 96. And he lives in Ohio, and he still lives on his own.
Wow.
And it's wonderful to see such an older generation that's still here, that ate, you know, from the farm, that learned how to plant their own foods. And so to them, this is very new. You know, it's like, we've been doing this forever, and you
forever.
Guys are picking it up.
Forever. Now, Catherine, tell me a little bit more about, because why did you choose Griffin? You know, you share with me, but just share with us again, why did you choose Griffin as a location for your store?
Well, I kind of didn't choose it. I can't take the credit for that because I didn't really like this place. I didn't like it at all. When I was married 12 years ago, me and my husband moved from Savannah. And I had a family member that lived in Griffin, and she, you know, we just wanted a new start, and we decided to move here. We always wanted to be in Atlanta, but we were kind of scared about the prices and the cost of living there. So my cousin mentioned Griffin, and when we got here, I was just so distraught because there's nothing here, really. It's a very small town, and they didn't have a lot of things available, and I still ended up going north to get a lot of the things that I wanted. But we chose to stay here and stick it out. And then my mom moved probably about 5 years later and made a home here, got a church home, and she loved it. She was excited about it. And we ended up moving to Marietta. And by that time, my mom started having a lot of illnesses. She was having trouble keeping up with the things that she should eat. Her memory wasn't as well. And so I got a little scared, and I said, I need to move closer, because it took me like maybe an hour or so to get down here. So I wanted to be closer. So I decided to move in with Mom, kind of help her out with a lot of the doctor's appointments that she had, and just be involved in a lot of the care that she was receiving. And after that, I just kind of made a couple of friends around the way in the area, and was helping them out with a lot of things that they were going through. Actually, the store owner where I got the store from, his father had a heart attack probably about a year ago, and you know, started bringing him things like garlic oil to help out teas and stuff like that. And he was very, you know, happy to see that somebody just wanted to help him out and started recommending me to other friends, and that's how it kind of started. And I was just kind of distraught about how I had to travel to Whole Foods, which was 45 minutes to an hour, Trader Joe's, all, you know, all the local markets up in Atlanta that was available weren't available down here. Mm-hmm. And started, you know, talking to a lot of people that always did the same thing, that everybody from here traveled north. And so something has to change. It has to be available here too, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I started to open a store. And he made it so just easy for me to open the store. He gave me 6 months free just to try it out and see how it worked. And I started bouncing around to different neighborhoods in Griffin, and everybody was so excited about it. So I can't really take the credit because I never really liked it. I just say that God put me in the right place at the right time.
He generally does, doesn't he, Kimberly?
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Yes, good thing.
Yes, I can attest to that. But there was a reason, though, because Griffin has a very high obesity rate. Tell us a little bit about. Yeah.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit about.
Yes, if you were following Channel 11 News, maybe about a couple weeks back, they mentioned. I mean, they did a whole coverage on it that Spalding County, which is Griffin, mm-hmm. Is the unhealthiest city to live in.
Wow.
And
wow.
They went down. Yeah, it was on the news, on Channel 11 News, and it got some of the community here in Griffin, you know, outraged. And this was like maybe a month before I decided to open the store, a month after I decided to open the store, I'm sorry. And when I heard it on the news, I'm like, wow. I mean, we kind of already knew that, you know, Griffin needed a lot of work. It's just people really didn't know how to start and getting the ball rolling. So it was just kind of right on time for the store and where I could kind of follow the path that I love the most. And so after that, what I'm happy to report is that after that news report, every Sunday, all of the locals in Griffin get together at Bank Street Cafe downtown Griffin. And we all meet and discuss how we can start to make Griffin a better place to live as far as unemployment rates, obesity, health, even community for the children, because they don't have a lot of things here for the children to do. So, of course, the STD rate, HIV rate is very high. The crime rate is ridiculous. They actually stacked us up against Forsyth.
Okay.
And Forsyth, our crime rate was around 451. I may be wrong. 451, and Forsyth was like 75. So
wow, comparing the size of the county. My God.
Yes, and
wow.
It's not a very big place, so
yeah.
It's very alarming to hear something like that. So, but. I want to just encourage everyone that Griffin has really turned the ball around. I'm very excited and happy and proud to be from here now.
That's awesome. But you see,
mm-hmm.
again, about timing, you really didn't like the place, but you know, that's a mission that you're on. And
yes.
not long, you said a month before then you decided to get the store, and then shortly after that it comes out as being the unhealthiest place to be.
Yes.
Timing, right? Timing. And since then, things have been really moving forward, because you also, I'm just looking here, you're actually working with, I think you mentioned churches, you want to share about that, and other organizations and people
in
pulling together some type of cooperative effort in not just making the place healthier, but all the way around a safer place. So just share with us.
Yes.
About that.
Okay, so the churches around the store, I started going around to the churches, and especially my mom's church to begin with, which is New Hope Baptist Church, and, you know, wanted to make sure that they, you know, I know they have, like, different programs that they do during the year, like fasts and, you know, they're trying to become a little bit more health conscious at the churches. Mm-hmm. So I went to the churches and offered, you know, my help as far as rolling out different type of detox programs, diabetes awareness workshops, anything that they would be, you know, willing to ingest for the church, and got a huge turnout where one preacher spoke to another preacher, another preacher spoke to another preacher.
Awesome.
To where they want to implement something like every month from the store. So I wasn't going to be open on Sundays, but now it seems as if I will have to be open on Sundays. So we're trying to turn it around where after Sunday, after you get out of church, you come to the store, have your nice healthy juice, a couple
awesome.
Of vegan and raw snacks, to kind of get you ready and prepared for the detox program that we're getting ready to do, which is the 21-day detox through Martha Vineyard. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but it's actually I tried it before I implemented it in you know, in anything else. But it's a 21-day, lose 21 pounds. And I lost over 21 pounds. I lost like 35 pounds from doing it. And it was very rapid and very healthy. I wasn't fatigued. It was just very effortless to kind of lose the weight in a healthy way. So a lot of the churches want to jump on board with that. I'm super excited.
Awesome. Share a little bit of, for those who are not familiar with the, you said Martha's Vineyard?
Yes, Martha Vineyard, she has a book out. She's written several other books as well, but this was the first book that was actually given to me as a gift because I was starting to become more interested in juicing. And I really didn't know how to do it myself instead of going and paying a lot of money at Whole Foods and other places to have them juice it for me. I wanted to do it myself. And the book is called 21 Days, Lose 21 Pounds. You can find it online on Amazon.com. It's very affordable, or you can look it up online. And so I started doing that with my family, and everybody's blown away about it. You know, if they just really stick to it, it really works. It really works. And I want to mention in Griffin also, we just started last Wednesday the Healthy Life Community Garden,
awesome.
Which I'm so super excited about.
Wow.
It's the city's first community garden, and it was featured in the Griffin Daily News with me on the front page actually digging in the dirt. I had no idea that they put me in the paper, but I'm excited about it. It's in a very historic area, which was the first black school, African-American black school in Griffin that was donated by the guy, and I'm speaking verbatim, I can't remember his name, but the guy that actually started the Sears and Roebuck store. And he donated it back in the 20s. And a lot of, you know, students were there. It was a Fairmont High School. And they actually want to restore that school and make it a museum. So, and the garden is right next to the school. So I'm hoping that we can get a lot of resources to help us to restore that historical monument.
That's awesome. That would also bring, you know, a great attraction as well into that area. Wow, that's awesome. Now, have you been involved with other starting other gardens, or is this your first? Or
the first garden was in the West End, and they have a community garden over there in the West End, and that's how I really got interested in it, because they had a lot of kids that came out to kind of help and learn about agriculture, which is always good for the new generation to be. I think it's very important for them to get the children involved, and that's why we started a program with my nonprofit, Loving Touch Development Community Center. We started a program that's called Kids in the Dirt, and where we, you know, we go to various schools around the area, wherever the community garden is, try to get the teachers and the students involved, where they can come out a certain amount of hours a week to kind of pick their own little plot where they can grow their own seeds and their own fruits and vegetables, which is beautiful because the kids are very proud of that little plot of theirs when they start to see things to grow. So I started that and was very inspired by how beautifully the kids were, you know, getting along with that. You know, most kids love to play and, you know, go out and play with the ball and jump rope and run all around, but the kids really enjoyed, you know, putting their hands in the dirt, planting the seeds, turning the ground over. They really enjoyed to see what, you know, what they did, and that inspired me to start the Kids in the Dirt program. So that was my first garden, and this is the one in Griffin is my second, but I'm hoping to get some type of grants going where we can do many more around the community.
That would be awesome. All around, I mean, in communities, wouldn't you agree, Kimberly? I mean, that would be awesome.
Yes.
We could really
around. I've read some studies recently that they're trying to get a lot more gardening in some of these schools because the children, when they're in the dirt and kind of learning how to cultivate foods on their own at a young age, it kind of inspires, like, I guess, a deeper respect for organic and healthy foods throughout their life, and they're much more likely to eat healthy as a result.
True.
That's right. And so that's, that's been a passion of mine. I've been learning along the way, which has been a journey, and I'm so passionate about it to where I was telling my mom the other day that, you know, usually you get tired just standing around doing nothing or walking from block to block, but when you're in a garden, it's something invigorating. I was out in the garden for like maybe 6 to 8 hours, didn't sit down and was never tired, and it just felt so good to be connected with the earth and to be cultivating something that I know would be very significant for the community.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I encourage everybody to get out there and, you know, plant something. I don't care what it is. If it's flowers, tomatoes. Get in the dirt.
Get in the dirt. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Kimberly and Catherine. One moment.
Healthy Explosion Show brings you the latest in holistic health and wellness from around the world. Take your health to the next level. Healthy Explosion is for you. Guests range from sleep experts, hormone specialists, natural chemists, plus much, much more. Our monthly newsletter features snippets of show content available at HealthyExplosionShow.com. Download and share with family and friends. Feature products or services in our newsletter by visiting HealthyExplosionShow.com. To be a guest on our show and share your ideas, visit HealthyExplosionShow.com. Tune in Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. to our live broadcast. Listen online by calling 914-338-0741 or via our mobile site on your Android, BlackBerry, or iDevices. Listen to our archive shows on HealthyExplosionShow.com or blogtalkradio.com/HealthyExplosionShow. Remember, your health is your wealth. Live it well.
Welcome back to the Healthy Explosion Show. I'm your host, Martina De Goot, and joining me with my co-host, Kimberly Britt, and our very special guest, Catherine Aduni of Aduni Naturals. Welcome back, and a nice segue from the infomercial, your health is your wealth, so we do need to live it well, and getting back to basics is the key. Get rid of the genetically modified organism. No more GMOs.
Yes.
Let's go back. I think Kimberly, you and I mentioned at one point, one of the shows that we have, past shows, that we need to demand healthier foods.
We do.
Instead of what we're being served. But it's a choice that we make, you know.
Yes.
I admire your initiative, Catherine. You know, you saw your mother and look what she was going through, and you said enough is enough. And you took a stand, and, you know, you helped her in turning her life around. And that's what it takes. It's like somebody has to say enough is enough. If it's, if it's your own life that's going out of control with sickness and diseases, then got to get to some point where we said enough is enough. Let's do something about it. It's time for a change, because that's when change happens. So that's really, that's really awesome.
And I want to say it's your right to know if it's GMO. So definitely, you know, demand your officials, your city officials, to get on board with that. You need to know when you're out there shopping for your fruit and your vegetation that it's not genetically modified. You need to know that. And that's important for, you know, it's important for the United States to get on board with this. And it's very important for the children, because they're the ones that's going to lead us to actually take over and say, you know, I want to know what I'm eating. And if it's not good for me, I want to have the choices available to choose something else that's better for me. That's very important.
That's so true. Kimberly, I know you visited your, and stayed with your grandmother for a while on the farm. And I know that you have something exciting stories and just your experience. When you could, you lived in New York, and what was the difference? How could you compare, you know, being on the farm, the type of foods that you were eating, to once you went back to New York to your parents?
Oh, it was night and day. I was always shocked. I'm continually shocked looking back at what we were able to eat as children in schools. And I think it's maybe gotten better, but I don't think it's changed all that much to today.
I mean, in New York, we were pretty much able to have Pop-Tarts for lunch if we wanted to. And it's kind of astounding because we're looking at our kids today and wondering why they have, you know, ADD or some, you know, a learning curve that maybe wasn't what it once was. And you got to look at the food. You have to look at, you know, all of these factors. And I think for me, traveling back to Missouri and staying with my grandmother and my other family members on the farm, it was kind of just like just really bringing things back to the way they were, like kind of getting up with the sun, going to sleep when the sun would set, you know, not forcing your body to do anything it wouldn't naturally do, and just eating the foods that are naturally good for you. It's kind of philosophical for me in many ways because it's not just how we should eat. It's kind of bigger than that. It's how we should actually live with our respect for the environment. And it's a lot more family-oriented, I would find, you know, the farm communities in Missouri at least. And, you know, that was really lacking from my life back in New York, I felt. So I was lucky.
Yeah, that was.
Did you have fun in the garden, Kimberly? Because I can say when I was young, I hated it. We went out to Savannah and in Jamaica, you know, I was sent to kind of do certain things in the garden, and I just absolutely hated it.
Growing up, when you're a kid, you just don't understand why you can't just go play in the pool or, you know, do anything with your friends, and you're being forced to do something that seems like hard labor. And, obviously looking back, you appreciate it for what it was.
Yeah.
But, I definitely experienced that. I mean, we would have to come in at night and peel potatoes, and it wouldn't be that many potatoes, but it just felt like we were peeling potatoes for 5 hours. Or shucking corn for 5 hours. And it just felt kind of a grueling process. But looking back in those times, that's when I was actually interacting with my family and talking to them and learning the most.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are the moments that you actually think about when you think about your childhood. So, it definitely does flip around when you get older.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, Catherine, did I hear you mention Jamaica?
Yes. In Jamaica, I had family there that, that was the usual thing for them too. You had to wash your own clothes. You had to
wow.
Get your own food. And I'm like, I hate this place. You know, because you're young, you want to go play and, you know, run about and, you know, do what you want to do at that age. But definitely now, as I've gotten older, I looked to a lot of the family that had those farms and asked a lot of questions and got a lot of advice. And you definitely look back and say, you know, wow, I really had it good. I really
mm-hmm.
had no idea how good I had it.
Yes, that's true.
And
it's true.
Now, that's interesting because I actually am a Jamaica native. And
oh, good.
So, yeah, I'm a Jamaica native. I didn't grow up on a farm, but we did have a huge, huge farm. And there were chickens in the yard, but the actual farming, I didn't, besides just maybe a little thing with the flowers or something like that, I didn't actually grow up where they were, you know, milking the cows and
right.
so forth. But, yeah.
I'm sure it was a lot of chickens.
Yeah, there were. Yeah, it wasn't. It was basically, but it was interesting because you know, the orange trees were there. You know, you've got oranges. You could just reach up and pick an orange, or it's banana. Everything. You kind of get used to things as just being food, and you realize, you know, and I left. That's been a very, very long time ago, but. I notice whenever I go back and if I visit for a while, and it hasn't been a while, but it's like the food tasted so much different compared to what I was eating at the time. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just, even at that time I was eating meat. I no longer eat meat, but there was a distinct difference in the taste between chicken and fish there and here. It's, you know, so even the cheese, things of this sort, everything was so much different. It here, you know, they've of course put a lot of preservatives and so forth to give it flavor, but there it had like a clean, fresh taste. So yes, and so now when I, it's interesting when you're saying that, because now as we're talking about organic foods, or we're so focused on it, that's what we had originally until everything was polluted. Everything was organic, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, there is something while we're talking about Jamaica, something that I've tried recently. There is a, I'm sure you're familiar with sorrel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And Kimberly, do you know what sorrel is, actually? Have you heard of it?
I don't. I've heard of it. I'm not familiar with exactly what it is.
I think it's, I'm not sure. It may be part of the hibiscus family. But that's one of our tropical drinks, so to speak. And I started doing some research on it for all the medicinal benefits and found out that it was an excellent source of minerals. It's rich in chromium, copper, manganese, iron, selenium, and phosphorus, and that it actually stimulates the immune functions and reduce fever and infection, prevent liver damage, and also aid in weight loss regimen.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has acid that blocks the how it aids in the weight loss is that the acid blocks the digestion and absorption of starch, which is of course a major source of calories. But I started last week to stimulate my immune system. Going back to maybe a month ago, Kimberly, I had some an attack of ingested carbon monoxide here, and it's very easy to prepare. I think one cup, and it's dried. It's actually dried, and it's red. One cup of sorrel, dried sorrel, to 6 cups of water, and you bring it to a boil for about 15 minutes and just let it steep and cool. And I started drinking one cupful. So you have about 6 cups out of that. And it's supposed to be very, very good. You can also add ginger to it as well. And I think how they actually prepared it back in Jamaica and I guess other places is they had sugar. Of course, I did not have any of that. It didn't add ginger. And I didn't have any sugar. But that's something that, you know, just wanted to mention that, you know, healthy things that we don't think about, but natural things that can actually benefit us in so many ways. So Catherine, what type of products are you going to have in your store? Will it be a combination of food or prepared food? Yeah, just give us an idea.
I want to work with, as far as prepared food, I want to work with a lot of local vegan and raw chefs where we can do demos in the store for a lot of the customers that come in. That way they can kind of taste and see how it's being prepared and kind of learn how to take it home and do it themselves. So that's the only preparation that I'll have in the stores as far as the demos. And I'll have juice counters where we'll be doing juicing, kind of familiar to how Whole Foods does it, and smoothies, healthy smoothies. But everything in my store will be organic. Nothing in there will, something you have to worry about later. Everything is going to be organic in the store. I'll be carrying a lot of the local vendors that's in the area, like the Georgia Jams, Castle Rock Honey, and we have another store in Griffin that just opened up that is called Rizzy Pops, which are like popsicle sticks that are made from like muscadine, plum, ginger, pineapple, cilantro, strawberry, cucumber, and they're very good. So I'll be carrying some of her popsicles in the store. She doesn't use any sugar. She uses agave and honey for her sweeteners, but they're very delicious. We'll have H&F Bread Company. They make their own breads. We'll have Baker's Bark and a lot of botanics that we'll have in the store as well from other local vendors. And I'm just trying to make sure that I don't leave anybody out because a lot of them have been coming to the store. And also your friend that has the vinaigrette dressing.
Yes.
She'll be coming in on the grand opening. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Great connections being made.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. That's I wish you were closer to me. And
well, hopefully we'll be able to. I really wanted to tackle this area because, as you know, it's nothing really here. It's like 35 miles south of Atlanta. People are starting to get the word now and trying to do something in you know, local communities like McDonough and Stockbridge. But it's nothing really here. So I wanted to kind of bring it here where it wasn't available. And I read this. God just put on my mind to look at this quote that a gentleman made by the name of Will Allen. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I would hope that we can move along a continuum to make sure that all of our citizens have access to the same fresh, safe, affordable, good food, regardless of their cultural, social, or economic situation." Mm-hmm. And when I seen that quote, and I'm like, yes, that's right. You know,
yeah.
It needs to be available and accessible to everyone.
So true.
You know, one of my favorite quotes.
It's a great quote.
It really is. And you know what's really interesting is that if we start this grassroots effort, and that's one of the reason for this show, Healthy Explosion show, everything holistic that affects one's lifestyle, health and wellness. But if we can get to the root, like I commend you with, you know, starting the garden, because this is something that's needed, and especially with the young people, because if they don't start learning about good eating from, you know, they're very young, then we may become extinct, because it has already been stated that a lot of children are probably not going to live to the age of their parents unless there's some changes made. So if you have mortality rates dropping in the young people, what's going to happen? So we really need to make sure that we have training from, you know, the very, very, very young age. And so that's really awesome. Now, if someone wanted to start a community garden, are there any resources available? How would they go about that?
Plenty. I'm sorry, Kimberly, did you have something?
Oh, no, I was just saying, I was wondering that as well.
Yeah.
A lot of the cities have funding available, and they have a lot of land that has been kind of turned over to the city. Once, if you can start to scout for the land that has been unused, abandoned for decades, then you can always, you know, go to the city that you live in and say, you know, I see some land over there. Is it possible that we can open, you know, start a community garden? And a lot of the cities now, because they're kind of under the radar of, you know, a lot of the illnesses that are going on, like how they brought up Griffin being one of the unhealthiest cities. Griffin is not the only one. There's several cities that have not been put on the radar yet. Jonesboro is one of them. And I think they've already started a community garden, and they're starting to kind of turn it around. But all you have to do is go to your city officials, you know, and just ask around, and someone will point you in the right direction. And also the USDA has rolled out a program called Start to Farm, where they assist new farmers in locating land and starting a community garden, or if you wanted to do it in your home, at your home, in your backyard, your front yard. They actually have a lot of funding available that will assist you to do that, and they have a lot of awesome programs to get you started, and it's called starttofarm.org.
Wow. Didn't know about that. Isn't that great, Kimberly?
That is.
Yeah. So I think now it's just right now everybody's starting to get a little bit more conscious about the health.
Yes.
Which is awesome. It's moving along really quick. And it just takes you going out and asking some questions and being very neighborly and community committed. I know a lot of people stay at home. We go to work. We have time to, you know, go to work, come home, cook dinner, spend time with family. But I encourage everybody to get out and start speaking to your neighbors. A lot of people can just get together and find some land, which I found that very staggering how once I started speaking to a lot of people, even our friend, our dear friend Diara, his family welcomed me down to Warner Robins to speak about their land. They have over like 80-something acres of land that hasn't been used at all in years. So it's a lot of people around here that have land that would be willing to do something with it if you just, you know, start to talk to them and get involved in the community a little bit better.
That's great information, Catherine. Thank you for sharing.
That's great. I feel like so many people would want to be interested in this kind of thing, but it's like you said, they just don't know where to start or they're intimidated. They feel like, you know, nobody's going to be interested. But, it's, you know, what you said is really inspiring because there's more people interested than you would think, you know, and it's a lot easier than you might think.
Yes, it is. It's definitely been, it's been a blessing how everybody's been so welcoming to start in this process. So, I mean, it just really takes you to get out and start speaking with the people in your neighborhood, going to the city hall and looking for land. And that land that I was speaking about, it was turned over to the city years ago that we started the Healthy Living Community Garden. Mm-hmm. And it's near the, I think it's near a couple of other elementary schools, so it's not too far away from, you know, the schools in that area. And the area, you know, it's a very impoverished area. So they were willing to, you know, open up that land just to do something that was encouraging to the members of that community over there. So you just, it just takes you to go out and speak to people and see what you can get done and get it moving. I encourage everybody to do it. I know if I can get out, and I'm not very much of a social butterfly, but I can get out and speak to people. I definitely encourage you just to open up your mouth and start speaking to people about doing good in your community.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of those programs. My thought was, because I've always said, oh, I'd love to have an organic garden. But you're always thinking, okay, well, I have to go out and buy the land. And I think maybe a lot of people are under that impression that, okay, I'd have to go and buy land to be able to do this. But if the city in local communities have land that they're willing to, you know, to actually give you to do this, and I'm very impressed with the USDA. You mentioned the Start to Farm, I believe it is, program.
Yes, Start to Farm. Mm-hmm.
Where they also not only make in the city-owned properties, but also if there's something you wanted to do on your own property.
Yes, mm-hmm. They offer, I'm not sure how much they offer, but they do, they offer you a certain amount of money to get it built. And I spoke with a young lady, it's probably about a couple of weeks ago, who started, she was getting ready to lose her home, and she had maybe about 5 to 10 acres of land. And she went to the program. They had a workshop up in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Start to Farm program, that is. And she went up there, and they told her how to plant Christmas trees. And
Whoa.
She got a grant from the city. Yes, she got a grant from the city that, you know, like gave her everything that she needed to, you know, to plant the Christmas trees. And as you know, it doesn't take much to maintain those trees at all. You just plant them and they just grow.
Very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so they paid for her mortgage, and they also give her a certain amount of money to maintain it. And the proceeds are hers after she sells the Christmas trees. So they have a lot of outstanding programs for people to be more involved in agriculturally. So,
what?
You can...
Mm-hmm. Wow. What an awesome word of wisdom you just imparted. So especially in this economic climate, there are homeowners that have land that's just sitting there. They may be behind on their mortgage. This is something, I mean, this is really good. It's great.
Yes, it's exciting.
It's exciting.
And
Catherine, I like how you mentioned how, like, for example, the Christmas trees, you kind of just plant them and they grow on their own, you know? I think a lot of people might be hesitant to get into this because they're like, I don't have a green thumb, or, you know, I kill everything I grow. And it's kind of like, there's something for, you know, everybody. There's so many different things you can grow that are pretty resilient, and just given our climate, you know, they could do so well without your supervision all the time. So I like that you mentioned that.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's wow. Awesome, and my mom is one of those people that say, I can't grow anything. I can't, it dies. You know, and I've always wanted to challenge her on that. It's something out there for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And if you pay important notice to the plants, they start to pay attention to you. And they, you know, I grew up watching a lot of my second aunts, my older aunts, that would grow things and speak to the, you know, talk and sing to the plants. And, you know, that's important. I used to think she was crazy back then, but I would watch how everything in her house just bloomed, and it was always so beautiful. So I figured she must have been doing something right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And there are many benefits to actually farming, to having a garden. Number one is therapeutic. It helps release stress.
Yeah.
It also, while you're exercising, because you're moving about, and, you know, so it's a great way for someone that maybe don't want to go in a gym and work out, you know, just get out in the yard, start the garden. That's movement. Number one, you're going to perspire. You're going to be moving around as you dig a little, and, you know, just being out, it's great. So if you want to start, you know, improving your health, then that's a great way. Not to mention the fruits of your labor, so you'll be able to eat, you know, from the garden, which will save money.
We'll save a lot of money.
It's a win-win.
When I had a garden in Marietta, a friend of mine, Ross Kofi, he's from Guyana. He's actually going to be working with me with the community farms down here in Griffin. He's very wonderful to work with. He knows a lot of extensive information on gardening and not using pesticides to rear your garden. So, you know, if you want to look him up online, he's a great person to start with. He's very warming to talk to, and he's very passionate about gardening. And his name is Ross Kofi. But he did my garden in the my backyard, and we started growing tomatoes, okra, spinach, cucumbers, bell peppers. And a lot of the people in my neighborhood would come and, you know, I would invite them over to look at the garden and then get things out of there for free. But everything in the morning, when I made my breakfast or my dinner, I wanted the juice, I would go outside, and it's so beneficial to not even have to get in your car and go to the grocery.
True.
You just go in the backyard. So it's very therapeutic, very beneficial to your pockets.
Most definitely. And, you know, because a lot of complaints that you hear is that, oh, I'd want to eat healthy, but organic foods are expensive. So now we're actually giving you ways of doing several things. Start in the garden, eating healthy, and being able to relieve stress. And improve your health all in one.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Kimberly, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just also want to say, when I was hearing you talk about how, you know, the community, you're so glad you're doing it in Griffin because you really think that there's nothing like this available and there's some crime. I was thinking of that theory that I kind of learned maybe back in my political science days of, like, you know, broken windows, and if there's the city's looking dilapidated, it's just going to further the crime rates and everything like that. And how amazing it would be that if you could start planting some gardens, it wouldn't just help, you know, obviously with crime and things like that. It would help foster this whole attitude towards health. And it's like a new frontier, I think, that we could steer the youth towards, you know, just giving them something to do that is productive and can you really connect families, you know, they could do it together. And like we said, you know, for all the benefits, just monetarily and then also health-wise, and deeper than that, I think, you know, community efforts, you start to become invested in the success of
of the garden, and then you care more about, you know, the overall community and how it's doing. And I think it's it's a huge thing that you're doing. It's so much more than, you know, oh, just planting a garden. It's really refacing, I think, the communities that are the future of America is going to be growing up in, and it's so important.
Oh, definitely. A friend of mine told me the other day, I remember telling him, he asked me, he said, so what is it that you want to do in life? And I said, I want to change the world. And he said, no. He said, you want to impact the world, flip the world upside down, impact the world to do the right thing. And I said, you know, you're absolutely correct. And since that endeavor, I've been been so adamant at getting the kids involved. And so after that, they have a on Facebook, Griffin has started a page called Grow Better, our response to Channel 11 News and how we're going to turn it around. That's their page online.
Wow.
And they have like over 600 members already. And people are just putting up ideas. Yeah, it's very good. And a couple of teachers have notified me already and wanted me to become a volunteer in the school where I can go to the schools in certain times and bring the kids out to the garden where they can kind of help in the garden. So
definitely,
that's the way that we're kind of moving. You know, eventually I'm hoping that all this land that the high schools and the middle schools and the elementary schools have around them, that they can start doing gardens and having some type of agricultural program within the school for the kids.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would.
Now,
it would.
I'm looking, you also have a love for music, and you are the CEO of Fireball Record Productions, a Caribbean
Yes, that's in Jamaica. I started in the music because I love reggae. I love any type of alternative music that is uplifting, very conscious music. And I started in reggae. And a friend of mine who is a performer down in Jamaica, his name is Sugar Roy and Conrad Crystal. Very beautiful duo. And I started managing them. And I really didn't know anything about it, but they were, you know, we were just learning, and I just had a lot of different areas up here that I wanted to get them in, and wanted to, you know, try to get that type of music out. So I started doing that, which was a lot of legwork going back and forth out of town, and but just loved it because I love music, and I have a son who is an artist, and this is why I'm so adamant about arts and music in every school, because it really is therapeutic and it's healing to the kids.
Yes,
My son
for
is
sure.
autistic. Yeah, and I know that we're losing funding for those programs in the curriculum, but I'm encouraging parents to get involved and make sure that curriculum stays with arts and music involved
right.
in it, because the kids really need that in their lives. It helps them, you know, academically. It helps them to be better problem solvers. It helps them in so many different ways, in arts and creativity. And my son, Rio, he's autistic, and he's the one that's been kind of pushing me along to get involved in the schools as far as arts and music, because he loves it so much. He can't do anything when it involves school without music.
That's true.
And I think it's very important that they get that curriculum and back into the schools. I know some of the schools have lost their funding for it, but they're working on it now to try to get it back into the schools. So I really encourage that.
That would be awesome. We are running out of time. We're going to have to invite you back, Catherine, another time. Because
I would love to come back, yes.
Yeah, this was really good. Wouldn't you agree, Kimberly? This was just really good.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
No, it was good information. Awesome.
Thank you so much, Martina. You've been a blessing. And I know the community is very happy to see you roll this out. Not a lot of radio stations want to deal with this type of topics, so I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, and thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Kimberly and I she was excited when she actually looked at your bio. She said, oh, yeah, this is great. Well, we have got a lot coming up. We are running out of time. We're just about out of time. So,
well, can we mention your sister's I Run for
yes.
Diabetes? I'm happy to be sponsoring that down in Griffin. We'll be doing that June 21st through June 24th. And
awesome.
It's the I Run for Diabetes.
I Run
and you can look her
diabetes.
Up online. And, yeah.
That's true. She'll be on the show on sometime this month, which is awesome. And I'm glad we started out with diabetes because that's going to be a segue to some of the other things that we're doing. This month is the healthy foods and organic farming month. So we're going to be
mm-hmm.
doing a lot with food. And next Saturday, as a matter of fact, we have a live cooking show with our very own Kimberly Brick.
Yeah.
And Yuri. So that's going to be really interesting. Tune in. We're going to be doing a lot of awesome things. Thank you again for listening to the Healthy Explosion Show, and I think we've gone over an hour now. I'm Martina DeGoot, Kimberly Britt, and
mm-hmm.
thank you, Catherine, again for joining us. And
thank
until
you.
Next time, you're welcome. Until next time, have a wonderful, wonderful week.
You
bye-bye
too. Thank
now.
You.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health. Join us on Saturdays live at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Visit HealthyExplosionShow.com for information about the show, listen to archive shows, read our online newsletter, visit the Marketplace section for holistic products and services, and advertise your products and services. Don't forget to follow Healthy Explosion Show on Twitter and Facebook.